This episode of Coast Talk is sponsored by Pilarcitos High School in Half Moon Bay, California. Once a coyote, always a coyote. How's it going, everybody? Mark Weisbarth here. Coast Talk, episode number one, is in session, and we are reporting live from Pilarcitos High School in Half Moon Bay, California, and I'm with a good friend of mine. I'm stoked to have him on as the first guest. He is the principal of Pilarcitos High School, and his name is Raj. Please welcome Raj.
Hey, everybody. How you doing out there? Mark, how's it going? I'm happy and honored to be your first guest here on Coast Talk.
I appreciate it, man. I figured I'm going to start with the heavy hitters.
All right.
And so I had a list, I'm not going to say how many people are on the list of heavy hitters, but let's just say you're at the top, man.
I love it.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do this. As you know, we've always kind of... We used to actually have a podcast. It was called Yo Coast Side.
Yeah, short-lived, but it was strong beginnings.
Yeah, I kind of look at it as it was a good starting point. Everything I do in life, I look at as... It just gets me to another further point down the line. So what I mean is we did Yo Coast Side, right? And it was just, we were just having fun. But I learned so much from that. And so I will apply that to this new podcast, everything I learned and things that I can improve upon. And my voice, it just sounded like a prepubescent, so now I kind of talk with this.
I'm glad that's changed. So, listen, just to hit on that for a second, and this is something my dad taught me and my mom, both my parents, was that no learning is ever wasted. Right. You go to school and you're learning different subjects. You might go to college. You might change your major after years. But all those things, you're able to recycle that knowledge and, tie it into what you're doing now. My degree is in business, and all the things I learned in business school helped me as a principal. And so really, really true. Everything you do, you keep learning, and you're able to use that learning. So none of it's ever wasted.
Totally. No, I feel the same way. I've had many jobs,
Right.
From bagging groceries at Safeway to working the front counter at a rental, equipment rental place.
Yep.
And many others, restaurants.
And you stuff. And I work together.
Oh, yeah. Right. Wait, where did we work together?
Cafe Classique.
Yeah. Shout out to Steve and Irene Lamley and Phil and Forrest, who were the owners before back then.
Absolutely.
Cafe Classique, El Granada. We used to run that place.
We did. We had all the homies working there. I was making bagels.
Yeah.
Mark was cooking in the kitchen.
Yep.
We were all doing dishes. We were running that place.
Remember Miguel and was working the front counter.
Yep. Charles was a dishwasher.
Oh, yeah. There was a point when the owners wouldn't even be there, and we would just be running that place.
Totally.
Such a good time. Now it's the press. Shout out to Daniel Spangler. He's got the press over there doing good things. But, I just feel like everything I learned from those, even the most minuscule job I had, I apply it to my career now. And without all that, it's just – so you always got to remember that, even when you feel like you're in a dead-end job or you're so far from your path or where you want to go, just milk the most out of what you're doing and be sure to – keep in mind that these are going to apply in the future.
Absolutely.
When you're doing what you really want to do.
No, absolutely. Let me say one thing, because I've been talking to some students about this, is if you're in a job that you don't like, get another job before you quit the one that you're doing. Okay, people?
Okay, yeah, that's good advice.
I got some students who are quitting the job they don't like before they got the new one. Come on.
Yeah. You need an exit strategy. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you got to be smart. I know. Well, you do that. You probably do this all day. It's like you – you work with kids, and it's so cool. I remember when you were a teacher at CUNY. So what was your first teaching job?
So my first...
Were you like a substitute?
Yeah, my first teaching job. So, when I had gotten my business degree, I was my plan was to manage and expand on my dad's shop, which was Rumman's Coffee and Chai, and to open up my own music label. Wow. And Mark and I have, you know, been making music since the early 90s, and that's really why I got the business degree, was to go into those two things. You know, things kind of changed. I figured out with the music business that, you know, I tried really hard, but I found out, you know, I could barely break even. And so I said, okay, you know, this is something I'm passionate about. It will remain in my life, but it's not going to be my bread and butter. Mm. And, you know, I had always thought about education. My dad was a teacher, and I used to help him during summer school. And so I'd be in the class passing out papers when I was a little kid, thinking I was so cool with all these high school kids. And I think that's kind of how I fell in love with being in a classroom and really feeling comfortable with being in a classroom. And so I was talking with my dad and Senor Fernandez. Shout out to Senor Fernandez, Spanish yes. teacher, retired Spanish teacher at Half Bay High School, yeah. and a realtor, absolutely. So I'm talking to Rumman and Bob, and you know, they encouraged me to do some substitute teaching just to see, you know, what it was like. And they knew, you know, that I was passionate about math as well, and that I had helped fellow students, my classmates throughout the years with math classes, and so
including me.
Yeah, that's right, man.
I literally would not have graduated without your help. Like,
all right,
I was like, it was down to the last year, senior year, and they're like, if you don't get it together, uh-huh. you're not going to graduate with everyone, uh-huh, you know. Uh-huh. And so you helped me with my math,
yeah.
and I passed the test because of you.
Right. It was, yeah. you know, I'm drawing a blank. What was the name of that test?
Don't ask me, but I don't remember.
High school exit exam?
Probably, yes. It was something like that, but okay. You tutored me to help me pass that test.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
I always thank you for that. Yeah. I graduated high school because of you.
Okay. Yeah. and you know, so that, and that's always something, even to this day, I could help students or people with math problems that I know how to do. I just find great joy in that. And so... Mm. So I did some substitute teaching, and I said, oh, I kind of like this. And
at high school?
This was at all the schools.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so when you're a substitute, they call you and they say,
gotcha.
You know, we got an opening at Hatch Elementary School. Oh, we might have a teacher out at Cunha or Half Moon Bay High School. So all over the place. And that kind of gave me a lot of experience. I said, okay, you know what? I love the little kids, but I don't want to be an elementary school teacher. Not my thing. Okay, these middle school kids are cool, you know, I can, or high school kids, it kind of gives you that experience of what age kids you should be working with.
Right.
So I said, okay, I kind of like this. And so then I went back and started talking again with Senor Fernandez and my dad, and Senor Fernandez, he ended up saying, he said, a quote that I'll never forget, he said, if your experience with substitute teaching is neutral, then you have to go into teaching.
Oh, wow.
Because most people hate substitute teaching, you know?
Right.
And so I kind of liked substitute teaching. So I said, both former teachers, they said, if you like substitute teaching, you're going to really love teaching. So I went and got my teaching credential, finished it in a year and a half. I took... I don't even call it a vacation. I call it a journey. I took a journey to India, which is where my ancestors come from, and spent a month out there just alone and traveling and meeting people and visiting some family. And that was really life-changing. So I had my credential, came back from India, and just hit the ground running and started as a teacher at Cunha. Taught math, sixth grade math, eighth grade algebra. I taught this program called AVID, which we still have in the district. It stands for Advancement via Individual Determination. Mm-hmm. And it's a program that helps students who might be the first in their family to go to college, might be middle performing students who have a lot of
challenges.
Well, it's really for students who just need one more step of assistance to become college material.
I see.
Help with organization, help with note-taking skills, critical thinking, all the 21st century skills, and then thinking about college. There's field trips you take, guest speakers that come in and talk about career in college. It's a powerful program, and it's still at right now it's operating at Half Moon Bay High School in Cunha, and so I taught that at Cunha, and I had a great run at Cunha. I mean, it was just a, you know, special time. I worked with a lot of great teachers and principal at the time, Michael Andrews, who was your teacher.
Mr.
Yeah.
Andrews.
Mr. Andrews, and then worked also Mr. Nazar. He was the vice principal. Now he's the principal at Half Moon Bay High School.
Mr. Cox is cool.
Mr. Cox, he's still running the game at Cunha, and really had a great run.
How many years?
8 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was there for 8 years. And then what happened is I had also gotten my master's in school administration. I got a credential in, it's called an administrative services credential. Both those things allow you to become a principal or a vice principal. And my plan was just to keep teaching but sit on those credentials, and, you know, sometime in the future, I said, if I ever want to become a principal, I'll be able to.
So you had that forethought of like, oh, let me get this, because down the line, I may want to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I said, I'm not going to make a change now, but maybe later.
Yeah.
And then I'm sitting on the steps off Kelly Avenue of where Cunha is, and having my lunch, and I see Mr. Dudley Hughes, who's a teacher at Pilarcito, still here. He's walking down to go get some lunch, and, you know, we've known each other for a long time, so we started talking, and started talking about there being a principal at Pilarcito's High School, which there was not an on-site principal at the time.
Oh, and before you, there wasn't one?
No, correct. There was, wow. There was a great man, Bob King. Many of you listening might know Mr. Bob King, and he was what's known as a site director. After he retired, Mr. Hughes Dudley became a site director, but there wasn't a full-time on-site principal.
Hmm.
And so Dudley, myself, and with the help of Michael Andrews, we got together and wrote a proposal to the district, and the district agreed. At the time, the superintendent was Mr. Tony Rorick, who's since moved on, but he hired me as a principal here at Pilarcito's High School, and this is my sixth year, and it's been a dream come true, and I feel like, you know, I'm in the right place and really able to affect change and serve some underrepresented students.
Yeah, man, I'm so proud of you for that.
Thank you.
I admire you so much for that.
Thanks,
you know, because
brother.
I have seen, you know, what's funny is, so I used to go to Cunha when you were a teacher there.
Okay.
And I would go, well, I used to DJ the dances.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Hey, man, Cunha dances are no joke. You people out there know that, man.
Oh, it's a real job.
Yeah.
It's a real job.
No, Mark, a.k.a. Maliko, was just, they loved him there.
it was a good job. But also, one of the things I remember about is I used to go into your classes,
yep,
and I would like show them how to make a beat,
yes,
using like Ableton and all these different programs.
Yes.
I'd do a little song performance and stuff, and like to this day, I mean literally today,
yeah,
I went to New Leaf.
Wow.
And one of the girls working there was in your class.
Oh my gosh.
And like, oh yeah, you came to Mr. Betcher's class. And I
wow.
I see people all the time, like, you know, I don't even recognize them because
yeah.
It was like years ago and they
yeah.
were younger.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh hey, what's up? Like, I remember you from Mr. Betcher's class.
Yeah,
and
man.
So it's really cool that, and like everybody always just like Mr. Betcher, like they speak so fondly of you, like the kids
right
loved
on.
You, you know,
right
they love
on,
you.
Man. Yeah.
And to see where you are now, Pilarcito's, mm-hmm. I did the same thing when you kind of first started here.
Yeah.
You brought me in and
yeah.
I kind of started doing those programs with the students and stuff.
Yep, yep.
And the school was not what it is now.
No, you know, for many, many years, Pilarcito's High School was in two portable buildings that were in very poor condition on a dirt and gravel site, and just really not what you the environment to promote learning and for students to feel inspired and comfortable and cared for. But the district definitely recognized that, and the community as well, and together with you know, bond funds, was able to get the funding together to build this beautiful school that we're sitting on here. And let me also mention, so this location is used for Pelocitos High School, which is our district's alternative high school. It's also used for La Costa Adult School, and those adult school classes are here. They're in the evenings, and they they contain ESL, English as a Second Language classes, Spanish classes for any English speakers wanting to learn Spanish. We have GED preparation courses for any students looking to earn their GED. We also have computer basics classes that would allow you to pass Google's Google Suite certification test after you went through three semesters of the computer classes. And we're continually expanding services for our adult learners in the community. The next program we're going to have is a medical assistant, medical coding and billing office assistant program, and we're just continuing to look, looking to develop our career technical education, trades opportunities, and apprenticeships, internships, and really we're understanding that, okay, it's great to get a student a high school diploma, but it cannot stop there.
Right.
Yeah, they have to either go on to college to get a degree or learn a skill, learn a trade, and earn certificates, stackable certificates, where they have skills that employers want. Because that's what it's all about. It's about earning a living wage. We live in a very expensive part of the world, part of the nation, the coastside, the peninsula, the Bay Area, and how are we going to increase students' connection to their community, their college opportunities, and most importantly, I feel, their career opportunities.
For sure. How many students do you have here?
So for the alternative high school, we're always around as anywhere from 60 to 75 students approximately, and that includes continuation high school and independent study. And at our adult school, we have about 150 students right now.
Wow.
And that number is growing, and again, that program is expanding, and so it's beautiful to see this site that was supported by the community now serving the community.
Right Yeah. That's crazy. So you said alternate high school. For people who don't know what Pelocitos High School is, because everybody kind of knows that Half Moon Bay has one high school, they say. You know, Half Moon Bay High School. So where does Pelocitos fit into that? What students end up coming here as opposed to the high school?
Absolutely.
What's the big difference?
Oh, I love to answer that. So there are, ladies and gentlemen, there are two high schools in Half Moon Bay. One is our traditional high school, Half Moon Bay High School, and one is our alternative high school, Pelocitos High School. And so students who are enrolled in our alternative high school, and just so you know that each district, you know, in the U.S. is going to have a traditional high school, maybe more than one, and they're going to have at least one alternative high school. So this is, alternative high schools are in every district, and in fact, the numbers in alternative education are increasing. Mm-hmm. We're finding out as educators that you cannot teach all students the same. Learners come with unique needs and strengths, and so we really have to customize assignments, work creatively with students, remove barriers, serve them. And we can't think that every student is the same. We can do the same thing and it's going to, you know, everyone's going to be just fine.
Yeah.
So kind of the easiest way to think about it is a student who, for whatever reason, things were just not working out at the traditional school, Half Moon Bay High School, and their credit count towards graduation became deficient. And so graduation in 4 years was not likely going to happen. That's when they're put on a waiting list. And they're discussed with counselors, teachers, administrators, the family, and the student from both schools, a decision collectively is made, you know what, alternative setting, smaller environment, more wraparound services, smaller student-to-teacher ratio, the ability to customize assignments, is really what's going to work for this student to thrive.
Right.
And so that's when that student is enrolled at Pilarcitos High School. The diploma that a student gets here is a valid high school diploma. And, you know, we have a beautiful graduation ceremony. Each graduate gets a brand new laptop computer as a gift from a local donor, Graham Martin, who lives here in Half Moon Bay. He's done it for about 4 years. And so students get a high school diploma, and they get a laptop computer, and they get the services that they need. And what we're working on now is building a bridge to the next step. Again, that could be community college, that could be an internship or a trade school, but really taking them beyond 12th grade.
That is so cool, man.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, like I said, I came here before and it was just like a little, like, I don't know, a little mobile,
yeah.
Looked like a mobile home.
Yeah, yeah, right, know? Right.
And now I'm walking the campus and it's beautiful. And like outside you walk up and there's it has big, like in big letters, right when you walk into the entry of the quad area, it says respectful, compassionate, and responsible.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I love that because it immediately kind of invoked that in me. And I'm like, oh, wow, yeah. It's uplifting, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you told me a little bit before this podcast, but just kind of tell the people, like, why you have that up and what's the purpose of having that up there like that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Respectful, compassionate, responsible. Those are the values upon which we build our world. College aspirations are optimal. Concurrent enrollment makes this possible. Be creative.
Oh,
collaborate. Think critically.
I didn't know it was going to be a rap song. Okay. Keep going. Okay. It was awesome.
Think critically. Innovate.
This is great.
Practice restorative justice and mindfully meditate. Physical fitness, artistic abilities, science, geometry, history, poetry, culinary skills, guitar, photography, all within your grasp at our state-of-art facility. Have no fear, we'll get you set for a career, be it pharmacist or farmer, artist or engineer. With our graduating class growing larger every year, Pilarcitos High School, you want to be here.
Yeah. Yes. Can I just say that if you have a cooler principal or even a teacher or just a staff member, point them out to me because Raj is the coolest. Mr. Betra is the coolest. And that brings up something I wanted to go over with you. So I've noticed. I mean, obviously, you're outward with it. Like when we were younger, we used to make hip hop music, right?
Yes.
We met in high school and shared a common love of hip hop music.
Yep.
And since then,
favorite group, which was Native Tongues.
Yeah, Tribe Called Quest, De La Soul, and all that. And so we've done this for many years.
Yep.
We did the first hip hop show ever on the coast, Roundtable Pizza, in like '96 or something. But years later, I'm a realtor, and
right.
I'm not rapping anymore, right? But you have figured out a way to still keep that in your life, and even do it in front of your school. Like, you literally rap in front of your students.
Yeah.
And most people will be like, oh, God, that's kind of, you know. But really, I'm sure they love it, and they probably connect to you so much more.
No.
And, like, so tell me about that, just your thinking behind that and how you feel about just, you know, doing that.
No, absolutely. So, you know, what I want to talk about is, so one of the classes we have here is called Music Cypher, and it's taught by Dudley Hughes, who teaches guitar, Jeff Wheeler, who teaches percussion, and myself, who teaches hip-hop lyricism. Mm-hmm. And we work together to create hip-hop songs. Every semester, we'll go to a professional recording studio. Right now, we're working with a great engineer. You know him, Deegan Adams, at Sound Management Studios in San Jose. And we're creating art through a form of hip-hop music. And it's so, you know, hip hop, and I think, you know, this is true for you. I was introduced to it at a young age. Just was hooked automatically. And there was a swap meet that my dad and I used to sell stationery at. And so they had a CD and cassette tape store at the swap meet, and I'd take the money I would earn helping my dad, and every week I would buy a hip-hop tape. And so my collection grew, my love for the music grew, and then when I ended up moving to Half Moon Bay, I met you, and I met another one of our friends, Noel DeMello, known as D-Ski. Yep. And literally, D-Ski, Noel had two turntables and a microphone, and we started recording in Moss Beach Trailer Park, just kind of freestyling and messing around. And, you know, I said, oh, man, this is just everything to me. And I, you know, that's the one constant in my life that has never, I've never been able to, not that I want to shake it, but it just has stuck with me. And so I think no matter what I end up doing in life, hip-hop and rapping is going to be part of that. And so I said, you know, when I came here as a principal, I have to somehow keep that going. And you're right. The kids love it. Anytime I, bust a flow, they're into it, you know. And so it's just something I'm going to keep doing. And it ends up being a win-win as an educator.
I can imagine. It's insane. It's like there's no one else that does that.
Yeah.
Especially here on the coast.
Right.
Know? So, Pilocitos High School. God, I've seen it come a long way. You should be very proud of yourself for everything you've done and continue to do, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, I support you 100%. And anybody who is interested in Pilocitos, or getting involved or learning more about it, where do they go? Like a website or something?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, right now, what I'd ask anybody who's interested in learning about the school or possibly volunteering, possibly helping it out in any way, or just wanting to know some more about alternative education, you know, for yourself, for a friend, for a youth who might be interested as well. So our district webpage, Cabrillo. Hold on one second. Sorry.
It's okay.
So, yeah, that district webpage is cabrillo.k12.ca.us. And that's going to take you to our district's homepage, and then you can access all the school websites from there. You know, any of the elementary schools, Pilocitos High School, La Costa Adult School, Half Moon Bay High School, any of them.
Cool. And I'll put the link, I'll put that in the description below of this video.
Okay, great.
You know, so as a realtor, I get people asking me all the time, how are the schools, you know?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm always honest. I say, I went through the school system here, and I turned out okay.
Right? Yeah, right.
Sometimes that's not enough for people
yeah.
that are thinking of making a move here, right? And they tend to cite test scores and stuff, right?
Sure, sure.
And I always say, look, I don't have a kid in school. My daughter's 18 months, so I don't know yet.
Yeah.
But she's going to grow up here and go to this public school system.
Absolutely.
I don't know, whatever you can say, I don't want you to, like, I don't want you to throw anyone under the bus.
Sure.
But in your opinion, how is our school district, Cabrillo School District, as a whole? What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. You know, I love Cabrillo Unified School District. There's a few reasons I came up through it. You know, I moved here when I started high school. So I only went to Half Moon Bay High School, but I had a great experience there. I think the strength of our district is that we live in a small community. We have a unified school district, K through 12, and with our community support, which is just tremendous, when you, relatively speaking to other cities and communities, the support of the community financially through volunteering is just tremendous in Half Moon Bay and the coast side, from Montara south. And that's what I think the strength is that we're a small, tight-knit community, and there's a lot of connection and inclusivity within the schools. You know, I think all of the elementary schools have their unique strengths. We have one junior high school or middle school, intermediate school, and then, you know, one traditional high school and one alternative high school. And what I would suggest to any parents is to visit the schools. If their student is going to go into elementary school, schedule visits with all of the elementary schools. If they're going to go to Cunha, schedule a visit with the principal, or just go and take a look. And same with the high schools. And I think that way you get a really good feeling to say, hey, is this right for my kid? Because I understand I have two young children, and they will go through the public school system. And I know about all of the schools. And so it's a little bit easier for me to say, yeah, I feel comfortable with sending my children to this school. So I think, I think that's what parents have to do. And I think no matter where your children end up going to school, you have to supplement what's being learned at school at home. Education does not start at 8 a.m. and end at 3 p.m.
Right.
You know, it's got to come into the home. And really, your child is going to be successful, or has a greater chance to be successful, if they see that you, as a parent, as the family, think that school is important. You go to the parent-teacher conferences. You communicate with the teachers. You let them know, hey, you're going to college. You're going to graduate. We're behind you. This is important. This is the most important thing. And they see that you see it's important. They're going to think it's important, too.
For sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, you got to be involved. You know? Unfortunately, you know, a lot of parents work.
Right.
And it's hard for them to be involved. They might get home late and just be so tired, and they don't have the time, you know. So.
No, absolutely. Thank you for bringing that up, Mark. You know, a lot of our families do fall into that category where, time and finances require just, a lot of time working and not enough time to devote to the things I'm talking about. But the truth is that even if the time is not there, there is time to have that conversation with them and just let them know that, hey, school is important, and I'm going to be as involved as I can be. I'm going to help in the way that I can, and I'm going to support you. But I need you to know, as my as my student, that I think school's important. But thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah, no, it's a big deal. Even when I was a kid, you know, my parents were both gone all day, and we'd be at the house eating all our food. And
same here, man.
But they did kind of instill that in me. Like, you still have to do good in school. Luckily, I had good friends like you that helped me get through it.
Because
I wasn't. I was far from like a scholar. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I wasn't really good. I was more like social, but you always. You'd always get your homework done. I admire that about you, man.
Well, I tell you one thing. I think, you know, and I come from the same background, too. Both of my parents work multiple jobs or really long hours. Latchkey kid from day one, came home, me and my sister hanging out, eating food and hanging out, watching TV. And, you know, I think, you know, what is also vital is, and this I think we're seeing more and more becoming an issue, is that a good, strong work ethic. And so that's what I think your parents and my parents taught us.
Right.
Not just that school was important, but hey, you got to work hard too.
Yeah, just and leading by example, yeah, showing us that yes. You got to work hard.
Yes.
You know? And yeah, for sure. You know, it's funny, a lot of things I hear just in media and just everything that I'm reading and stuff. So college debt is a big deal mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. People, you know, they get out of high school, they go into college, and they take on mass amounts of debt.
Yep.
And it doesn't always seem to lead to a job. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then they're left with this huge debt,
yep.
and they're struggling.
Right? Yep.
So I like to ask somebody, you know, in the school system, mm-hmm. you know, do you think things have changed? Do you think it's still a college degree is as important as it was maybe 10, 20 years ago? Or are you seeing a shift more to where kids are going towards trades? Mm-hmm. You know, what is your overall kind of thoughts on that whole topic?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I have, you know, through my own experience, through what my parents taught me, and then now as an educator, helping young people, I think the most important thing is to learn a skill, mm-hmm. Or more than one skill. Because the truth is that if you get a college degree but don't have a skill to back that up, you're not going to get hired probably. And so a skill could be a trade, plumbing, electrician, et cetera. It could be something in education, teacher. It could be something in social services. Could be in the medical field. Could be in law. It doesn't matter. I feel the most important thing, learn something, learn a skill, and it should be something that you enjoy.
Right.
And you probably heard that before, you know?
Yeah, it's important. That's very important.
Yeah, and so if you can find out what you're passionate about in really any field, whether it's sports, you know, obviously being a professional athlete is, you know, the chances of that are low.
Right.
And so, but there's so many job opportunities in sports, whether it's sports medicine, physical therapy, agent, et cetera, yeah. right? Yeah. You take music, the same thing, sound engineer, recording, booking, or session musician. Any field that you're passionate about is going to have job opportunities.
Yeah.
And so more than anything, learn a skill. So that might mean going to college. It might mean going to community college, then going to a university. It might mean going straight to a university. It might be mean going into a trades program. So I think what's less important is that you have to go to college. I think
in order to be successful in life.
Yeah, I think what's more important is you have to learn a skill. And you have to have that strong work ethic again.
Because there are certain jobs where if you try to get that job, one of the requirements is you need a college degree,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Know?
So that's true. That's still the case.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, I mean, that's why I did plumbing. Mm-hmm. You know, I did that because in the back of my mind I was like, I got to have, like, something in my back pocket.
Yes.
When all else fails,
right.
I can – if at the very least I can go back to plumbing,
yeah.
No technology is going to take that job away.
Exactly.
People are always going to need it.
Yes.
And so that's like what I have in my back pocket.
Right.
I don't have any desire to go back.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to spend a week under a house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, or in an attic.
It's not your
But
thing.
I'll do it if I have to. And I can. And that gives me a sense of freedom.
Yes.
Because I'm not worried about it. I'll be okay.
Yes.
You know, and so yeah, I think that's important. Do I have a passion for plumbing? No. But there's worse things to do, man.
Yeah, no, you know? Absolutely. I had a friend say to me yesterday, because there's a shortage of young people entering the trades. And he said, no matter, you know, how far we go, people are still going to need to flush a toilet. Right. They're still going to need to turn on a light switch.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. So, okay, well, that's good to get your take on that because, yeah, it just seems like I think that's kind of a question that a lot of young people are faced with right now. Like,
right.
Should I go to college or should I just learn a trade or something?
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And so your answer to that is learn a skill,
yeah,
preferably something that you're really interested in, and that's what's going to take you.
Absolutely.
Not just a piece of paper that says I graduated or something.
That's right.
But so what college did you go to? San Francisco University, yeah, or something?
Yes.
San Francisco State?
So I went to, graduated from Half Moon Bay High School. Then I immediately went to College of San Mateo. I spent 2.5 years there, got an Associate of Arts in Liberal Studies. Mm. And then I got my bachelor's degree from San Francisco State. And that was a Bachelor of Science, Business Administration with a concentration in marketing. I really like marketing and advertising and, you know, unique commercials. And there's a creative aspect to all
that.
That's
so cool.
Yeah.
I always tell, like, Alicia this and stuff. Like, I wish I would have went to, like, business school.
Yeah,
or at least focus on business.
Yeah.
Because now I could totally benefit from all those skills.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now I just, you know, I'm learning on my own. Luckily, we have the internet and
yep.
And shows like Shark Tank and The Prophet and stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm just...
Love those shows.
Oh, I am addicted to those shows.
I know.
Ask Alicia. I watch every night.
Yeah.
For some reason, Shark Tank is always on. Marathon every day. And I watch the same episode multiple times.
Yeah.
And she'll be like, you've seen this. I'm like, no, I haven't.
No, every day is a Shark Tank marathon.
Yeah,
I swear.
Yeah. It's so cool. But yeah, business and marketing and all that stuff. God, I could really use that right now, a little more knowledge of that. But,
yeah.
But I'm learning, and yeah, that's cool that you did that.
No,
and
absolutely.
And it's funny to hear that you had a whole other idea of how you were going to use that,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
And then you ended up going a different path.
Yeah, absolutely. And then got my teaching credential from Notre Dame Dan Nemour University in Belmont.
Oh, wow.
And a single subject math teaching credential, and then a master's in school administration from there as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's a lot
I've always been enrolled in the School of Hard Knocks.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
For sure. Yeah. No, valedictorian.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Yes.
So there's
and
a lot of
street knowledge,
right?
Too, right?
Oh, yeah, no, you have to. Yeah. Too many people, you know, you gotta still teach your kid to, you know, be a little street smart.
Sure.
You know, sure,
of course.
Keep your nose in the books,
yeah,
and stuff, and do well in school. Learn a skill, but also they need some social skills.
Yes,
you
yes,
know, and
absolutely.
That's sometimes, man. I think technology, mm-hmm, is playing a huge part in our youth kind of like losing those social skills. You know, and that actually is a good question for you, like, because you've been in this so long. You said 8 years at Cunha and 6 years here.
Mm-hmm.
Over those years, there's been pretty big changes just in society because of technology and whatever.
Yes.
Have you noticed a change in students over the years that might be a cause of this change in society? Is there anything notable that, you know, or how kids behave or how they interact or communicate to teachers and stuff? Just, you know, just interested in you if you see anything like that, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think what I've seen, and this is probably pretty predictable statement, but it's a real addiction to cell phones. Students, and I'll even admit myself, have to have their cell phone on them at all times and really don't get a break from either communicating with someone face-to-face or tied into their cell phone, you know, the whole idea of daydreaming or just taking a walk or looking around and just thinking about things silently, meditating pondering.
What's that?
Yeah, what is that? So if I'm not talking to someone, if I'm not doing something, I'm doing something on my phone.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy you said there's what, daydreaming. What,
yeah.
Instead of daydreaming, they're looking at the phone.
Right, right.
So, but can students have their phone in class?
Students can't have their phone, no. Oh. So we have some, you know, expectations around that. We give a lot of opportunities for students to use their phones as part of their education,
okay.
whether it's something simple like a calculator or, accessing some of our online curriculum or doing research. It is a computer in there. And you know, so we definitely encourage as much use as that. Use for earning credits or learning things. They have to use headphones. And then if a teacher's teaching or there's a class discussion going on, we do ask students to put it away then.
Yeah.
But yeah, they can use it and have it out when they're kind of working independently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, man. It's changed a lot, you know? Like, and me myself. I like the new update or something on the iPhones. It gives you a little summary of your screen time.
Uh-huh.
You see that?
I sure have.
And just your jaw drops.
Yeah,
and
you're
like, oh, God, I spent that many hours on my phone?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so we've really been consciously trying to be at home, especially with the baby, you know?
Right.
It's like, if I go on my phone in front of her, she's trying to take it out of my hand.
Oh, yeah.
But then we find ourselves, you know, she's drawn to the phone.
Oh,
she,
man.
She wants your phone.
Automatic. Because you know why? They see that we just like... We think it's important, so they think, oh, man, that must be important.
Right. It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's shiny, and there's, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of like a bug to the light type
yeah,
of thing.
Right,
she's just,
right.
like,
yeah, yeah.
gravitating towards it like a yeah. tractor beam.
Yeah.
Like how, in a zone.
No, how do they know that that phone is so important?
Yeah, I know. So I'm consciously trying to just, you know, put the phone down at home.
Yep.
Play more instead of watching TV and stuff. These are all things that... Because we grew up and we didn't have the internet. You know, we're
right.
we're like the last generation of kids who were actually didn't have the internet growing up, and then all these kids were born with the internet
mm-hmm.
and with all these smartphones and devices and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty crazy. I don't know how that's going to affect us long term. Kids are going to be. I think kids are smarter now because of it.
Yeah,
they really do.
No, they. I think they have more information.
Right.
You know, whether or not that means smarter or wiser.
Yeah.
But they definitely have more facts and figures and information.
Right.
And also, you know, if you can use the phone in as a resource, as a tool, there's a lot of value in it, too. A lot of value mm-hmm. in technology. Let's not forget, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Well, man, right on. Let me get to one of these segments that I want to do on every show. Okay? So... Every show, I want to just have reoccurring segments for different guests, and I'd like to just go through those right now, if
okay.
you don't mind.
No,
okay.
I'd love to.
I know you're a busy man, and you got to get out of here, so let's just go through them really quick. But the first segment is something I call, that would be cool.
Okay.
And so I just want to know, what, in your opinion, would be a cool addition to the coast, a new business or whatever? What do you think would be cool to have here?
Absolutely. So, you know, I... experienced this in Brentwood, which is, you know, a city in the East Bay, East Bay, and it was essentially a community center. They had a gym there. They had pools, basketball courts, ping pong tables. You could play chess there. You could rent the place out for, you know, birthday party. So just a community center that had all of those things, you know, you'd pay a fee and then could use it, as you, you know, as you wanted. So
yeah.
A full-fledged, community center
yeah.
with a lot of activities.
What about that big event center right here that we have? Is that...
That'd be perfect. You know, to be honest, I haven't heard of it being used.
Yeah. What are they doing over there?
You know, I know that, there are, some of the games for Half Moon Bay High School are played there. I know that the Half Moon Bay High School graduation ceremony is held there. And there may be more things going on there,
yeah.
but I just don't know about that.
Yeah, it's a really big state-of-the-art facility.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you have the Boys and Girls Club right across the street.
Yeah, they do. They are. And they are doing some of that stuff.
Yeah, but I hear you, though. It could be cool to have a really big, like, all-encompassing kind of community center, like a YMCA or something like that.
Correct, correct. And, you know, I have to give a shout-out to the most beautiful library I've been in, Half Moon Bay's new public library.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they've got a lot of these things that I'm talking about. It's really a community center as well as a library.
No, it's amazing. If you haven't made it to the new library, go over there. It's state-of-the-art.
It is.
Amazing.
Man. Yeah.
I mean, it's so cool.
They have...
Alicia brings Malaya there sometimes in the morning. Yeah. They have, like, little, you know, playtimes with kids and all kinds of programs. And
no, they have stuff for teenagers, stuff for little ones, stuff for adults, ukulele classes, the 3D printers, laser cutters.
Yeah, the maker room is amazing.
I went one time and they had a DJ class to learn how to make DJ music. Yeah, and there was, you know, all these teenagers in there really just soaking it up.
Awesome. Yeah. So look into that. They have a lot of things going on over there. Look into the Half Moon Bay Library for sure.
But just more stuff for the community to do.
True. Yeah. Okay. And then another segment I want to do is called That's the Spot.
That's the Spot.
And basically, you know, tell me about a place on the coast that brings back fond memories for you. Or just, you know, and it doesn't have to be fond or old memories. It just... a place you like to go for whatever reason.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to give a shout out to Sunshine Donuts.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, absolutely, man. My friend Tom and his wife Died run Sunshine Donuts. They have the best donuts on the coast. They also have egg rolls that are world famous.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, I play chess in there sometimes. Sometimes I'll go in there early in the morning and get a croissant and a cup of coffee. And so that place just... it's in the Safeway Shopping Center, and go pay them a visit. Yes. That is the spot.
Sunshine. Next time you're walking into Dunkin' Donuts,
just kind of
pause.
Yeah, that's right.
And think about supporting, you know, Sunshine has been here for a long time.
Yeah,
local. Family-owned, local, and go there and get you. One time, Raj brought us there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember what the situation was, but we went there. It was like late night, and they were making the donuts for the next morning.
That's right.
And it was the first time I ever tasted a fresh donut.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, it was the best thing I've ever had in my life.
No.
It's not like a normal donut.
No.
It was like soft. You could cut it with your eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
So good.
So, you know, a lot of places... don't make their donuts fresh daily. Sometimes they come in frozen, etc. But Sunshine Donuts makes their donuts fresh every day. And you really taste that difference. And if you get there early in the morning and they're still warm like that, oh my goodness.
Hard to beat.
Yeah.
That's the spot. Sunshine Donuts. Okay, and then last segment is who would be a good guest, in your opinion? Like, can you refer... somebody to me because I'm running low. No, I'm just kidding. But I like to get ideas so I could, you know, interview them in the future and stuff.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So for La Costa Adult School, our coordinator, his name is Matt Linton, and really great guy I've had the opportunity to work with. And he would be great to interview and talk about his experience at La Costa Adult School and really give you an in-depth information, feel, and listen to what's going on here for our adult learners. So his name is Matt Linton.
Matt Linton.
Yes.
Okay, I'll make
and
sure.
And I can connect you with him.
Cool. Right on. Mm-hmm. Okay, so before we get out of here, I got to bring it up.
Because, yeah.
I mean, you're synonymous with this, but the coffee shop.
Yeah.
Ramen's. Yeah. Your dad, rest in peace.
Thank you,
Ramen,
sir.
You know?
Thank you, rest
he
in peace.
He was like a father to me as well when we were growing up. And so many good times there.
Yeah.
Played such a huge part of our community.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the day when we were in high school, Raj had actually had a little section in the coffee shop where Pete's is right now.
Yep.
Where you could buy underground hip-hop.
Yep.
And it would be like our music and all our friends' music from different places, L.A., wherever.
Yeah.
And it became a place where people could go and actually discover new music.
Yeah.
And it was the place to go.
Right.
And I talked to so many people, you know, the younger people from us, and they said they grew up and they would just discover music by going there. And beyond just the chai, which is just like amazing, just kind of reflect on that whole experience and what it meant to you having that shop.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So I, you know, my dad and I were not just father and son, but really best friends, and I miss him so much, and it's been a tough year losing him. It'll be a year coming up in February that he transitioned. And, you know, our family's dealing with it. I know the communities also felt the loss as well. He was really, you know, made a positive impact in a lot of people's lives. And so the chai shop, I, you know, literally grew up there. And so, you know, working there since I was 14 years old, doing everything from sweeping and mopping to ordering to helping customers. And a lot of the skills that I have now, I realize that I learned from my dad in the chai shop, in Roman's Coffee and Chai. And it just made a huge impact on me and again, taught me that work ethic, taught me how to communicate. And, you know, you said the thing you have in your back pocket is plumbing. And so the thing I have in my back pocket is I can go anywhere in the world, even here in Half Moon Bay, and I could run a cafe from top to bottom. I could open it, I could close it, I could do all the ordering, make the drinks, and so, you know, that if push comes to shove, I could always do that. And so my, you know, wife and I, we've talked, and we've talked as a family, and, you know, the chai, and, you know, my wife does henna art, as a hobby, and so we've talked, and who knows, maybe one day chai will be served, real chai, Rumen's real chai will be served on the coast and maybe even worldwide one day. So that's a dream we're putting out there, manifesting, putting it out there into the universe.
I hope so. I hope that happens, man.
Thank you.
Best man. Chai on earth.
Best chai on earth. Real chai spoken
and,
here.
And you have that recipe. Nobody
oh, yeah.
Have that.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Man, well, thanks so much for taking the time. I know you're a busy man.
Thank you, and, Mark.
I know you got students out here banging on the door waiting to get in to talk to you. But, man, I love you, man. You're one of my favorite people in the world. We've always been like best friends, man, and I'm super proud of you, and thanks for taking the time to do this, man.
Absolutely. Love you too, Mark, and I wish you all the success with Coast Talk and everything that you're doing, and again, I'm honored to have been your first guest on Coast Talk.
Shout out to the sponsor, Pilicitos High School. Once a coyote,
always a coyote.
Right on, guys. Have a good one.
Peace.